Livingston said, "God, if you have men who will only come if they know there is a good road, I don't want them. I want men who will come if there is no road at all."
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Happy Monday. It's great to have you joining the broadcast as we begin a new week. In Pastor Bill's series in Hebrews today, our study focuses on the rest that remains for the people of God and the importance of faith and obedience. So, open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4 as we join Pastor with today's message, rest. What a beautiful word.
Remember, let's just set this back up. Remember that the Jewish believers there, the temple is still standing. The Jewish believers are now in Christ Jesus. The destruction of the temple has not occurred yet. And they're struggling. They're, you know, for 1,500 years, their forefathers had done nothing but practice Judaism, the law of Moses. Amen. And now all of a sudden they're born again. And their high priest is Jesus. And there's a fear or a problem with them being drawn back, not into Judaism so much, but maybe taking a part of it and bringing it into Christianity. Who knows? We don't know exactly. But we do know this, they were not moving on with the Lord. They were at a standstill because Hebrews 5:12 explains to us that they were not progressing, they were regressing because Paul, who I believe is the author of Hebrews, said, listen, by now you should be teachers, but now you need to be back on the milk of the Word of God. You can't handle solid food. And so they weren't going on with the Lord. They were at a standstill, probably because of the horrible, horrible persecution that they were experiencing at that time. Now, remember this, that Hebrews was not written to discourage the new believers in Christ. It wasn't written to discourage the believers today, even with the five warnings that are there. The Bible tells us very clearly, the writer tells us in Hebrews 13:22, he says, this is a letter of exhortation. It's a letter of encouragement. Don't give up. Keep running the race of faith. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. Keep looking unto Jesus. Amen? Now, with all of that being said, we left off in Hebrews chapter 3. Just look at Hebrews 3:18. Let's just look right there. And it says here as we begin this morning, we go back from last Sunday, it says, and to whom he did swear that they would not enter his rest. Very important word, rest, a very important word this morning, meaning their inheritance in Canaan, that first generation. But those who did not obey, so we see they could not. It was absolutely impossible. They could not enter into the land of Canaan. They could not cross the Jordan River because of their unbelief. So remember what I said last Sunday. Their unbelief was stronger than the promise of God. Think about that. That's how much they doubted God, refused to trust in Him. And so the majority, they believed the 10 spies, remember? They outvoted the divine rule of God. And they were only 100 yards from their rest. They were only 100 yards from the Jordan in front of them. All they had to do was be obedient and cross over. God had already promised them. Not only did He give them the land, He also said, I will defeat your enemies for you. All they had to do was believe. Amen? And that's all we have to do, loved one. Did they do that? No. Numbers 14:25 tells us this, that God says, okay, there you are. There's the Jordan. There's the promised land. There's the land flowing with milk and honey. And He said, you know what? Tomorrow you turn back. Tomorrow you turn around and you go back into the wilderness. You turn away. The today word you didn't want. You didn't want to trust my promises, and you now will wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and you will die there. They missed the power of now. Amen? Think about that. Now, loved one, this morning, the word rest is very important, and I fear in my heart that there are many listening right now, the online congregation, maybe those that are here, some of you, you're not at rest right now. You don't have peace. Matter of fact, some of you might be, and I say this with love because this has been a hell, hell, let me say it again, hell of a week. I understand. Like I told the early service, I said, I'm teaching on the rest of God, and I don't even have rest myself. That's tough, isn't it, Pastor?
Yes.
Yes, but I feel pretty good right now.
Amen.
Rest is a beautiful word. Say that with me. Rest is a beautiful word. You know, the Lord cries out in Isaiah 66:1. He says, my throne, it's in heaven. And the earth, it's nothing but my footstool. But then he asks a question. He says, where is the place of my rest? This morning, we are going to go and find and understand the rest of the living God, and we're going to receive it. Amen? That's very, very important. Listen, some of you, I say this in love, you know, you're living off the fragrance of Christ. All of a sudden, maybe you come on a Sunday and you have Jesus all over you, and you're in faith and you're happy, and boy, I'm blessed. And then as the week goes along, the fragrance of Christ is gone. In other words, you're living off fumes, not the fuel, and you're running so low. And if that's you this morning, this is your day. This is a today word to anyone who needs rest. Those listening live, those in this chapel, let's begin in verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains, I love that, a promise remains of what? Well, of entering his rest. Let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Therefore, takes us back to verse 19 of chapter 3. The first generation, did they hear what God said? Yes. Did they understand what God said? Yes. Did they believe what God said? No, not at all. And the sin of unbelief stole their inheritance and their rest. Listen, they missed the rest of God. And so these first century Jewish believers now, that to whom this is written, and to every generation, the writer just said this, hey, listen, a promise remains. A promise is still available of entering his rest. That word promise, that's the first used in Hebrews. Do you know the word promise occurs more often in Hebrews than any New Testament book? It occurs 14 times. Now listen, there is a living promise of God on the page before us. You can say there's the promise of God is on the table, and you can have it. I can have it. Every believer can have it. They can have it right now, but the only way to have it is by faith. That's the only way to enter in. But it says, lest any of you should come short of it, short of God's rest. Only way to come short of God's rest is unbelief. Amen? The word rest here in Scripture means to cease one's labor or to cease one's work. It's mentioned 8 times in the book of Hebrews. Now here we're speaking specifically of the Canaan rest, okay, for the first generation in Israel going into the land. Remember the second generation, what Joshua and Moses, what they told to the second generation. Let me read it to you in Deuteronomy 12:9. It says, as of yet you've not come to the rest and the inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you. Again, speaking to the second generation who would cross the Jordan and go into the land of their inheritance. He said, oh, this is the inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you. But when you cross over the Jordan and you dwell in the land which God is giving you to inherit, here it comes, he gives you rest. He gives you rest from all your enemies round about so that you will dwell safely in the land. Now that is a word to the Jewish believers to whom it was written. You know, you have to take the promise of God. Don't be like the first generation. Believe it and take the rest that God is going to give you. Therefore, again, verse 1, since a promise remains of entering his rest, what are we to do? It says, let us what? That's the first let us in Hebrews. It says, let us fear, lest any of you seem to come short of it. Now listen, that word has been so watered down by so many translations, it is sad. If you have an NIV Bible, I'm not beating you up if you do, you know, but I could say something, but I'm not. If you have a New International Version, I have one at home. I read all the translations, okay? But the NIV translation, it does a terrible softening to what this verse means. Let me just tell you what the NIV said. The NIV said this, let us be careful. That word there, let us be careful, that is nowhere in the Greek language or in the original languages. The word fear there, phobeo, okay? It means this. It means to be terrified. Everybody listening? Terrified. It means for a person to have intense concern. It means to be terrified of distrusting the promises of God. Are you terrified to do that? To not trust the promises of God? That's what the writer here is telling us. Let me give you a really good translation. The New Living Translation says this way, God's promise of entering His rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. Listen, to have rest. If you take a nap and you wake up and you say, man, I feel much better, right? You don't? No, listen, when I take a nap and I get back up, I feel like I've rested and I feel better. When you get to be 40 years old like me, you'll understand, okay? No, and so you experience rest. You can experience the rest of God, amen? Now, with all that being said, it says, let us fear. What are we really to fear? Well, we're to really fear the last word in chapter 3, and that is that word unbelief. But what I want you to see here is that the way you read verse 1, and it seems like, gosh, I could fail to be saved or whatnot. That's not what that's talking about. Let me give you what that really means. The word come short, what it means. It means literally this. Don't suppose, the writer says, you missed entering God's rest. You didn't. Why? Well, God says the door is still wide open to enter into His rest. Amen? We all got that? Now, for indeed the gospel was preached to us, the writer and of course the Jews at that time, as well as to them, meaning those, the first generation that came out of the land of Egypt. Now, the good news here is not speaking about the death and resurrection and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, although you can apply it that way, but it's not speaking of that. Here, in context, is speaking about the first generation that came out of Egypt, their rest that they could have had in the land of Canaan. So listen, the first generation, they heard this good news of rest that God said, it's yours, it belongs to you. Come on in, cross the Jordan. But what happened? But the word which they heard, meaning that generation when the 10 spies came back, remember, and gave them that evil report. They heard, it didn't profit them. Why? It was not being mixed or combined with faith in those who heard it. Who were the those that heard it that they compared them to? It was Joshua and Caleb. Did they hear the same promise from God? Absolutely. Now listen, they not only heard the same promise from God, this means I'm getting ready to get on fire now. No, what it means, loved one, is this. It means that Joshua and Caleb, they heard the same promise that all the others heard, but only Joshua and Caleb believed. They believed the word of God. You see, listen, can you imagine only two people believing God's word? You know, the Bible says in Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing the word of God, hearing it, and then believing it. James 1:22, let us not be hearers of the word only, but doers, deceiving your own selves. And so what happens when we hear God's word? Listen, if we don't mix what we hear, the word of God, with faith, it is not going to profit us. It didn't profit them. It won't profit us. Did you know that Hebrews, especially chapter 11, contains more usage about faith than any other book in the New Testament? But the first generation, it didn't do them any good. They heard the good news, but they didn't believe the good news. They missed God's rest. Now listen, no word of God, what you're hearing right now from God's scripture, no word of God, no promise of God will promise any Christian, any believer, unless they believe it. There are many, many people, loved one, that hear the word of God. They hear year after year. Remember what I said a couple of weeks back? The church can be the most dangerous place in the world for a Christian. Why? Because they hear the word of God year after year after year, but they never do it. That means you're deceived. You see, Jesus told us this. He said in John 8:47, he who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, he told the Jews, he said, hey, you don't hear because you're not of God. We want to be the people that hear God. Amen. James writes in James 2:18, someone will say that, hey, I have faith and I have works. Well, he says, well, then show me your faith without works. In other words, show it to me if you can and you can't. He says, and I'll show you my faith by my works of obedience. Why did he say that? Loved one, listen, faith alone cannot be seen. Isn't that right? I mean, anybody can say, I have faith. I believe, man. Okay, well, what do you do with what you believe? See, faith cannot be seen. Faith always requires action on the part of those who say, well, hey, I have faith. Now, listen, faith is not demonstrated, again, unless it's seen. Remember in Mark 2:5, right in that area. Remember the friends of the paralyzed person who brought him to Jesus. He was on a cot. They carried him in, but they couldn't get into the house because it was packed with people. So what did they do? They went up on the roof like any normal Christian would do, and they tore the entire roof apart, and they lowered their buddy. That's the kind of buddy to have, amen? All those guys, I mean, we believe we're going to get you right in front of Jesus one way or another, tore that old roof off, lowered him down, boom, 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 and he right there, boom, in front of Jesus. And it says, when Jesus saw their faith. See, faith can be seen, but it's only seen as it's demonstrated. And that's so important. See, we can say, you know, I believe in serving the Lord. You bet, I believe it. I believe everybody should be in the kids' church serving.
Amen.
But do you? You see, if you say, oh, I have faith in that. Or you say, hey, I believe in tithing. I believe in giving. You know, I just gave to the orphan. I believe in that. But my pen ran out of ink, you know. I believe that we should love one another as Christ loved us. But do you? You see what I'm getting at? It's easy to quote Scripture, but it's another to live Scripture. See, faith has to be demonstrated, loved one. It's just vital. Now, Corrie Ten Boom said this. She said, faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible. And that is a true word. Look at verse 3 now. For we, the writer, of course, the Jewish believers of that day, and us, for we who have believed might enter that rest. No, we who have believed do enter that rest. As he said, and he's going to quote Psalm 95:11, so I swore in my wrath, they, meaning the first generation, we covered that last Sunday, the first generation shall not enter my rest. And you know the reason, the sin of unbelief. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place, he's going to quote Psalm 95:11 again, they shall not enter my rest. Now, remember this now. In verse 1, the writer of Hebrews says, there is a rest that remains and you can have it. All you have to do is believe by faith. Now, what does the writer of Hebrews do now? He takes the Jewish believers of that day. He takes them all the way back now to God's work of creation. And here's what I want you to see, though. You know, the word rest, I just told you a little while ago, 8 times in Hebrews, okay? But here, this word rest, for example, to the Jew, if you talked about the word rest, it would always refer to the Sabbath. The day of rest, the day that God made, that Saturday that they rest. Jews believed if they observed the Sabbath, that meant that they were entering into the rest of God. But that's not what the writer says here, because he quotes a Psalm 95:11, which was written hundreds of years after the law was given. Are you following me? And he's saying here, there is only one way to enter the rest of God. It's not by keeping the Sabbath. It's not by keeping any works. It's only one way. And from Genesis to Revelation, there's only one way to please God. And the word is called faith. And that's what he's saying right here. But what I want you to really see, this is why this section is so hard for so many. It's hard for me too, because you got to really break every word down. The writer now does something that is so cool and so incredible to prove his point, okay? What he does is this. He's talking about creation. Now, we know on the 6 days, the first 6 days of creation, God says it was good. Remember, after he did what? It says, and so was the morning and the evening, say, of the first day and of the second. You follow me? Okay, that happened throughout. In other words, that day had a specific beginning. It had a specific ending. But here, that scripture I just read to you, it says that on the seventh day, God rested. And if you read that in Scripture, you'll find that there is absolutely no mention of evening at all. So what are they saying? Well, the rabbis taught this, that since the first 6 days had a beginning and an ending, a morning and an evening, but here you come on the day of God's rest, it had no ending, or because it had no evening. So what are they saying? They're saying that the rest of God from the day of creation for all time is available forever and ever and ever and ever. It is available, loved one. Now listen, it's said there again in verse 4, and that certain day. He's quoting Genesis 2:2. Let me read it to you. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. He rested on the seventh day from all his work which he has done. Again, God's work of creation. But listen, is God no longer involved in his creation? Of course he's still involved. He's the God of the universe. Amen? Listen, Colossians 1:17, Jesus, he created all things, and by him all things what? Consist. He's still holding everything together. Now, how long did God's rest last from the day of creation? How long? Well, the day that he rested, guess what happened in the garden? You know the story. The next thing we're told, God is calling out, Adam, where art thou? Remember? Where are you at? What were they doing? They were hiding. They were hiding from God because they had sinned. You see, they had only heard one voice in the garden. They walked with God in perfect fellowship. They didn't know what the word sin meant. They didn't know what the word doubt meant. They had perfect fellowship with God. They were innocent before God. But then there was someone in the garden. He's the serpent. He's the father of all lies. He said unto Eve, Eve, indeed, has God said. Oh, you know, you eat this fruit. Listen, you eat of this tree. Listen, you know, you're not going to die. You're going to be just like God. And that's what you want to be, isn't it? Just like the Lord. He's going to take and eat. The moment that he did that, something went into Eve's heart and to Adam's heart, both of them that they had never been before. For the first time in their entire existence in the garden where everything was perfect, they doubted God's word. And the moment that they doubted God's word, they lost the rest of God. The moment that you doubt God's word, you don't enter the rest of God. Does that make sense? Now, I don't know what to do, but God says, do this. Oh, no, but I don't believe that. But God says, no, I don't believe that. Well, you're not going to have my rest. And so because of that, Adam, his sin made all the world, if you will, every person ever born, restless. The Bible says in Isaiah 57:20, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith the Lord, for the wicked. No peace at all. Can you imagine having a lifetime of no peace, no rest, no comfort? That's what God says. No, they don't have that. Now look at verse 6. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those, meaning the first generation again, and those to whom it was first preached, well, they did not enter because of their disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time. Why did he say that? He's showing that after hundreds and hundreds of years after Moses, David says something. Here it comes. He's going to say, today. There it is again from last Sunday. Remember the today word. It's urgent. That is the power of right now. In other words, you have to do something. Not only the present Jewish believers to whom it was written, but to every generation of believers. It says today, if you will what? Say it. Come on. Hear. If you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, meaning rest in the land of Canaan, then he would have not afterward have spoken of another day. I'm going to ask you a question. Did Joshua give them rest? Did the children of Israel find rest in the land of Canaan? No, they had to fight. But they did have rest as long as they obeyed God.
As we wrap up part one of today's message on Hebrews chapter 4, remember this powerful truth. God's promise of rest is still open to you. And the author warns us, the good news preached to ancient Israel didn't benefit many because they didn't mix it with faith. Let's continue to believe and trust God at all times. Amen. Thank you for tuning in today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth
Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.